Another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, December the 20th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. As we enter into this last, these last moments before we celebrate the incarnation of our God, and it is getting close. So we are going to take a look at the readings, the first particularly and specifically this weekend, the first and the gospel for this fourth Sunday of Advent. And while early on in Advent, those readings kind of seem distant from the celebration that we were approaching, these no longer feel distant. These feel close, and they feel like, yeah, these make sense to where we're moving. So, as we get ready to break open this word again, however it is that you prepare yourself, that you open yourself to receive this word well, to allow the Spirit to make its home within you during this word, I invite you to do that at this time, and just say yes, as Mary did, right? To let the word do what the word needs to do. Okay, so for those who like to read along with, here are the scripture passages we're going to hear today. The first one is out of the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verses 1 to 4a, and then out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Both very, I'll say famous, both well read and well, many times heard. If that's a phrase, I don't know that it is, but I'm using it today. Okay, so with that, let's break open God's word together. A reading from the book of the prophet Micah. Thus says the Lord, "You, Bethlehem Ephrata, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient times. Therefore the Lord will give them up until the time when she who is to give birth has born, and the rest of his kindred shall return to the children of Israel. He shall stand firm and shepherd his flock by the strength of the Lord, in the majestic name of the Lord his God, and they shall remain. For now his greatness shall reach to the ends of the earth. He shall be peace." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, my friends, as always, if there was a word, a phrase, an image, an idea, a thought that came to you in the hearing of that word, allow the Spirit of God to speak directly into your heart, into your being, through that word, that phrase, that idea, that image, that thought. Because that's one of the ways God continues to speak to us today. Just sit and ponder it and chew on it and let the Spirit do what the Spirit needs to do. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste, to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. That's so good, isn't it? I mean, these readings are wonderful. So, okay, not the main point that I'm going to make, but I just think it's so wonderful. I mean, this is such a good gospel snippet, right? Because that's all we got is a snippet. That if you go before it, Immediately before it, it's the Annunciation. It's when the Archangel Gabriel comes to Mary, of course, and says, you know, hail, full of grace. And she's like, what's happening? And he's like, he proposes the plan of God. And Mary says, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. And with that, the angel left her. Those are the immediate words before our gospel today. And if we were to continue reading on, you know, after Elizabeth says, blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. We get Mary proclaiming the Magnificat, right? Again, these are like power verses, power stories after power stories. It's like if you were, this is the 27 Yankees, man. I mean, Babe Ruth went up and just hit a homer in the Annunciation. Lou Gehrig gets up and he hits a homer in this one. And whoever follows Lou Gehrig is hitting a homer in the next one. I mean, these are like so good. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. I mean, it's like, yeah, these are our, this is the story. These are the stories, and they are just filled with grace upon grace, yes upon yes, acknowledgement upon acknowledgement of God's greatness and our lowliness, but that none of that can stop God, right? The other thing I want to point out is, of course, you know this, but I just love it. Two things, really. The first is, of course, we get the first part of the rosary between last week's, well, it wasn't last week's, but the reading immediately preceding this, the Annunciation, where we get the Hail Mary full of grace, that we, the Lord is with thee, that those were the words of the Archangel Gabriel, right? Had we read this passage, the previous week for the Annunciation, that was the first part of the rosary. And then today, we hear Elizabeth's words that take up the next part of the rosary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I know I say this every time we get to this, but I just think it's so cool. You know, the first part of the rosary is directly out of Luke, out of the Annunciation, out of the Visitation. And then the next part wasn't brought on until a pope did it like in the 16th century. And so the first part of it, when people were praying the rosary in the Middle Ages, the 11th century, that's all they were praying. Those two words out of the Annunciation and the Visitation. The other thing I like, and again, I am grateful to Sister Mary McGlone for this. She pointed out that the first Beatitudes in Matthew or in Luke are not Jesus' words, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, etc., but are here. In Elizabeth, Elizabeth speaks them. And again, the word beatitude merely means blessed. But we hear it three times, right? Where Elizabeth looks at Mary and says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, and blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. Blessed, blessed, and blessed. Why? Where does that blessing come from? Again, I'm not wise enough to be able to fully answer that question. But here's where I think our readings point, and this will be the main point I want to stay with for the rest of our time together here today. That Mary is blessed because she simply allowed God to use her. Mary is blessed because she believed that God could, in fact, use her. Okay, let's flesh that out, all right? So let's go back to the first reading then. Micah, a prophet who was a shepherd, okay? A sheep herder is what he says. He loved tending sheep. Micah was no figure of largesse within the people of Israel or the people of Judah. He was a nothing person until he allowed God to use him and call him and speak for this moment, and then he went back to herding sheep. But it was his season to do so. And what does he say? He says, you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come for me the one who is to be the ruler in Israel. All right. Now, Bethlehem, Mike is speaking, let's say, around the 7th century before Jesus is born. So 700 years, give or take. It was after David was king. David, who was born in Bethlehem. So Micah is not foretelling of David's birth, but he is foretelling somebody in David's line who will take that up, who will also come from Bethlehem, who will be David-like. But he's not speaking of David, and he's just giving hope to the people as they are about to be carted off to Babylon, as they have been carted off to Babylon. Again, we're hearing that, right? We're hearing that theme, whether it be from Baruch last week or Jeremiah or Isaiah, all of them speaking to this. Why, brothers and sisters, and Micah too? Because we remain in slavery today. We remain in bondage. We are in exile. We are away from who we are. We are not grounded in who we are anymore. We are forgetful people, and we are in exile from our very selves, and are in an exile from our God, and we are in exile from one another. Those words speak to us today, and it's like Micah could speak to us today and say, okay, something's coming. Something's coming that is going to keep you, is going to invite you out of exile and ground you and set you on the right path and remind you who you are and who we are as a people. Because it's never just us individually. It's always us as a community, us as a people, as a world, as a community. And this one will allow that. And this ruler who comes is going to be exactly unlike any other ruler who one thinks of. This one who Micah says, whose greatness shall reach the end of the earth. I mean, we think of Alexander the Great, right? Who conquered through armies and wept at the end when there was nothing left to conquer, right? And he ruled with that iron hand. Or we think of Julius Caesar at the time, not of Micah. At the time of Micah, we're thinking of Babylonians, right? Or the Assyrians. Who conquered again with army and murder and violence. Or Julius Caesar at the time of Luke, who conquered again Rome with armies. This one doesn't conquer that way. He shall be peace. He shall not be a peaceful person. Peace is who this person is. What I want to focus on, And you're going to see the theme because it's everywhere. It is ubiquitous, not only in the readings we hear today, but it is everywhere within Scripture because it is the pattern. And you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth the one who is to be ruler in Israel. God, it's as if God looks around Israel and says, which is the most insignificant? Ah, there you are, Bethlehem. I see you. I see you. You are going to be the one I call forth. All right. If you think this is unique in all the words, remember, Micah, this shepherd, this sheep herder, is the one who prophesies, who the one who God calls into this prophetic role. One of my favorite stories, and I've used it before for those longtime listeners, is the story of Gideon. If you ever go to a hotel and you pull out a Bible, it's Gideon's Bible is often the one that is there. And this person, Gideon, it was a real person back in Judges chapter 6, I believe. He was one of the judges of Israel. But before he was one of the judges of Israel, he was a nothing man. He was insignificant. In fact, almost like what we heard today in Micah. So the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, were being overrun by the Midianites. They were the bad guys in the time of Gideon. And the people were being oppressed by the Midianites, and they would hide when their harvest was coming due or their calves were fattened. They hid from the Midianites because they knew the Midianites would take them. So here is Gideon hiding from the Midianites because he doesn't want to be found out. He doesn't want any of his stuff to be taken. And so he's in hiding. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, "Greetings, mighty warrior." And Gideon, it's as if you could see him looking around and saying, "You talking to me? How can you be talking to me?" And he reminds this angel of the Lord that you've got the wrong person, because he says to him, he says, "Listen, we're from the lowest tribe in the house of Israel. Of the 12 tribes, we're the lowest. And my family, we are the poorest in this lowliest of tribes. And in my family, I'm the most insignificant." So, I mean, those are the words that Gideon says. He says, "I'm the most insignificant person in the most insignificant family in the most insignificant tribe. And you are coming to me and you're saying, 'Greetings, mighty warrior'?" And the angel of God, of course, goes on to say, "Yep, I got the right person." But to Gideon's credit, he believes. And he goes on, ultimately, to bring together the Hebrew people and conquer the Midianites and become a judge of Israel. Mary, this 14-year-old teenager from a backwater, be it Nazareth or Bethlehem, depending on which gospel you look at, this nothing young woman who has no voice within society, from a backwater town that has nothing going for it. It's as if God looked around and said, "That's the one. That's the one." Israel itself, God does not use Egypt or Greece or Babylon or Assyria or Rome to bring about God's work. He picks the most insignificant country, the one that was overrun by all those countries I just mentioned at various times. It's a crossroads. It's a nothing stop for all these armies to go about their conquering in the worlds with which to conquer. That's the one, God says. That's the country I want to use. And to Israel's credit, they say yes to the covenant at Sinai, right? Brothers and sisters, the history of Scripture is God using the insignificant, the Bethlehems, the Marys, the Gideons, the Israels, the Micahs. And again, I want to credit Mary McGlone in this. I'm going to read this to you directly from her. These are her words, not mine, but I love them. "God will become incarnate through those who believe and are willing to allow grace to work through them." I want to read this again. "God will become incarnate through those who believe and are willing to allow the grace of God to work through them." Brothers and sisters, you may be today feeling insignificant. You may be feeling unseen. You may feel like your life to this point has meant little. You may feel like you live in a small town, or your life has been small, or your actions have been small, or whatever it is. And I am here to tell you that that's precisely where God can and will work. All God needs is our yes. I don't know if there were 25 other Gideons that the angel of God went to before he found the right Gideon who said yes. But I know this, that Gideon did say yes. And God did mighty things through that yes. I don't know what those mighty works are that God can and will do through your yes or mine. Those are steps of faith we take. And maybe, yes, we're not going to conquer a people or free our own people or whatever that is. Maybe it's not at that level, but maybe it is, and I trust it will be at a level that God needs. I know this. I know God needs our yes to be born. Last week, I used the term shit show. Okay, I'm doing it again twice in a row. We may look within our lives and see that, and see the chaos of a manger scene that God cannot be born into. But God precisely says, "That's where I want to be born." Last thing I'll say, one of these the mornings this week that I was spending time in prayer, one of the meditations I read talked about Thomas Merton and how he was a teenager, or just after I think he graduated high school, he was over in Europe traveling on his own. And one evening he had a mystical experience that God allowed him to look within himself and see all the sin within him. And he said, he wrote this in Seven Story Mountain, he said he was horrified by it. And his soul wanted to escape, but it didn't, of course. And that got me just in my prayer and my meditation to think, God's spirit resides within you and within me. God's very soul, his life is within. And yes, our lives are coated with sin, with decisions that are selfish or poor or for our own kingdoms and not for the kingdom of God. But God, in God's great humility, stays and desires to work within that chaos, within that show, as it were, to allow God's spirit to be born anew, to be born into a manger filled with sights and smells and sounds of chaos. But that's precisely where God wants to be. Because God can use that to show God's own greatness, right? Had we read on to the Magnificat, that's entirely what Mary talks about. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, not me. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked upon his handmaid's lowliness. And behold, from now on, all ages will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. Right? She goes on to talk about how God sends the rich home, and the mighty takes from their thrones, but lifts up the lowly. That is the story of Scripture, brothers and sisters, the Bethlehems and the Marys. God can use us. All we need to do, as Mary Magdalene says, God can and will become incarnate through those who believe, through the Gideons who say yes and are willing to allow grace to work through them. That's where we celebrate this coming December 25th. God's incarnation in the world and God's incarnation within us. If only we are willing to say, yes, you can be born here and great things can come from it. Let's allow our God to be born within our chaos. Let's allow our God to work God's grace through our yes. Let's pray. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The second joyful mystery, the visitation. It's exactly what we heard in our gospel today. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. Again, as always, thanks for breaking open God's Word with me. May your week be filled with every good blessing. Be well, and Godspeed.